everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom's wearing the green, as he should, on this St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2022. Tom, boy, I could sure use a nice slice of Irish soda bread just out of the oven, soaked with good Irish butter.
How about some corned beef and cabbage to go along with it?
Would be so nice to have a little of that right now, but we have a radio show to do. It's Buckmaster on KVOI, The Voice. We are in the Green Things, green, appropriate for today, Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, and we are on News Talk 1030, the trusted source for News Talk in Tucson. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, Democrat, representing the 1st Supervisorial District. Supervisor Scott, happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Bill, thank you. And this is also a very special day within our family, as I think you and I have talked about. My wife and I are the parents of twins, one boy, one girl, and they were born 27 years ago today.
Wow. Very, very nice. Easy to remember on St. Patrick's Day. And of course, the name Scott is of Gaelic origin, of course, for the Scotland, but you know, your Gaelic cousins are Irish.
And we have on both sides of the family Irish blood, and both my father and my father-in-law, who both of them unfortunately are no longer with us, were delighted when their grandchildren were born on St. Patrick's Day.
Rex Scott, normally you would be with me in studio, but you did have a commitment, a two-hour commitment, just got finished, actually, with it. It was a session with all, there were, I believe, 15 representatives from each of the Arizona counties. What was on the agenda today?
Bill, I'm the county's representative to the Arizona County Supervisors Association, and we meet once a week during the legislative session to talk about bills of interest to the counties. But today we had a special presentation from the deputy director of the Arizona Department of Water Resources on some proposed legislation that is being discussed to create a new Arizona Water Authority. You might have seen that proposal come out of Governor Ducey's office, so we were getting some background on what that the authority's powers and responsibilities might be. And then we also got an update on, as we always do, legislation that is of interest to the counties.
Are there some pieces of legislation that we should know about that are of interest to the counties?
Yeah, absolutely. There are one that is of particular interest to Pima County is the fact that we are asked to make a significant contribution towards funding the state's juvenile detention system. And that is despite the fact that we send very few children into that system because of how we handle things down here. And the only two counties that are required to make a contribution into the system, the state system, are Maricopa and Pima. And we are working with Representative Weininger to get some legislation through so that that burden will be taken off the backs of the taxpayers of both Pima and Maricopa counties.
Most of the counties, the 15 counties, have electronic, what they call e-voting centers, don't they?
Well, there's a distinction in what we've been talking about here. All of the counties, other than Pima, use what are known as e-poll books, electronic poll books. Those are electronic rosters of all the registered voters in the county.
And there has
Sorry,
been...
Bill, hold on just a second.
Go ahead. Oh, okay, we've got...
Sorry, I had an alarm going off on my phone. That was the alarm I set for your show.
Oh, there you go.
I guess I had pressed snooze when it first went on. But anyway, all 14 of the counties use these electronic poll books as electronic rosters of all the registered voters in the county. And we are going to be using those starting with the primary election in 2022. 11 of the other 14 counties have made use of what are known as vote centers that allow voters to vote at any one of the centers within the county instead of having to go to their specific precinct polling place. And vote centers have been in effect. They've been allowed in Arizona since 2010, 2011. And we are going to be the 12th county to make use of them starting in that primary election of August 2022.
Well, there has been some controversy surrounding this, and on our Monday political face-off, I don't know if you heard the discussion with Shelley Kice. Ms. Kice is the chair of the Republican Party here in Pima County. She was one of our commentators, along with Brian Bickle, representing Democrats. And Ms. Kice is very concerned about the security, Rex Scott, going forward with these particular election centers.
Well, I don't understand her concern, to be quite honest with you. As I said, vote centers have been used in many Arizona counties, 11 to be exact, for 11 or 12 years. The first county that used vote centers was Yavapai County, where Prescott is, and Yavapai County is a predominantly Republican county. Cochise County is another predominantly Republican county that has been using vote centers for a long time. When vote center legislation was approved by the Arizona legislature 12 years ago, it passed with only one dissenting vote. There was one representative in the House, and no senators opposed it. At that time, Jan Brewer was our Republican governor. Ken Bennett, who is, by the way, from Yavapai County, was our Republican Secretary of State. And these vote centers have been used with great success and with the necessary attention to safety and security throughout the state. And that's going to be the case here in Pima County. We have the elections, through the Elections Division, been reaching out to all of the political parties, all of the jurisdictions within Pima County, the elected officials, organizations such as the League of Women Voters and Chicanos por la Causa and other organizations that have a great concern in our democratic processes to get their input on the list of vote centers. There was a draft list that was put together by the Elections Division, but we're getting input prior to the final list being brought to the board at our second meeting in April, because we want every voter in Pima County to have a vote center near where they live or work. So we need that input from all of our stakeholders. As I said, the e-poll books have been used successfully in all 14 of the other counties. And, I would point out that the nominee of Ms. Kice's party for Pima County Recorder in 2020, Benny White, is a member of the county's Election Integrity Commission, and he made it very clear that he very much supports the move towards vote centers. He would have taken this same step if he had been elected recorder in 2020. And I just think that a lot of the rhetoric that is coming out of the local Republican Party is not only based on fear and not fact, but it also doesn't speak to the experience in Republican counties around the state And I really think that Ms. Keiss should have a conversation with her party's candidate for county recorder in 2020 to get the real picture on what these reforms are going to look like.
And you labeled this rhetoric as outlandish in your recent op-ed, Rex Scott, in the Arizona Daily Star. Local elections, you say, are fair and secure, and you're not at all happy with this rhetoric and these attacks at the professionalism of both the county recorder and the staff in the elections division. And one thing that Ms. Keiss is not, another thing she is not happy with is this new, the lady that has been hired coming from Virginia to be our new elections director. Ms. Keiss contends that of all the counties in Virginia, the county that this individual, this that is coming to Pima County, her county was the last to report in 2020 the presidential election results. But she's not happy with that hire as well. Can you comment, please?
Well, I would comment on two things. First of all, Ms. Keiss also supports the lawsuit being brought by the Arizona Republican Party to try and end early voting in our state. And I would note that our Republican governor just denounced that lawsuit, which Ms. Keiss supports, just in the newspaper. As far as our new elections director, I think she has an exceptional background. And that background was vetted by the interview committee that included Mr. Bickle, who was on your show the other day.
That's correct.
And also included staff from the county administration and included the county recorder. What I have been hearing is that Ms. Keiss is using some stale rhetoric that was propagated by members of her party in the home state of our incoming elections director. There was litigation that was brought by the Republican Party in that state that was dismissed by a judge. So I think we've got an outstanding elections director coming in who has direct experience dealing not just with vote centers, but e-poll books. And she's going to be a terrific partner with the staff within the elections division and with the recorder and her staff. So I think a lot of the rhetoric that is being propagated against vote centers and against e-poll books doesn't stand up to scrutiny and does not align with the experience of the other counties, which, as I've said a number of times, include some significantly Republican counties. So I think she ought to do her homework and stop getting her rhetoric from the former president.
All right, well, let's pause right here and have some rhetoric that is all positive, Rex Scott, because it's about Mona's Danish Bakery. I'm sure you could go for something sweet right about now.
Absolutely. And since, as I always like to point out, Mona's is in District 1,
yes,
I wouldn't have to drive very far.
There you go. Mona's Danish Bakery is home to the Danish Kringle, and yes, it is in the Pima County Supervisorial District number 1 because it's up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch. They open the doors, and people are waiting in line. Well, they're ready when the doors open at 6:30 for breakfast. I don't blame them. They want their coffee and they want their Danish or their Kringle or their croissant. And they've got them and those wonderful breads, the wide variety of European style breads available also at Mona's. Their website will tempt you even more than what I'm saying, because the website shows some beautiful pictures of pretty much everything that's on the menu. And the website is monasdanishbakery.com. We'll have more from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops,
craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport. Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's continue with our discussion with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, a Democrat representing the first Pima County Supervisorial District. Supervisor Scott celebrating his twins, his kids today. Did you say 27th birthday?
Yes, sir.
And do they have, through the years, has it been kind of a St. Patrick's Day themed birthday with green cake or whatever?
We have occasionally done that, but the kids are very different and distinct individuals, so we haven't always had a joint party, and there's been a different theme depending on what is the preference of each child. This year is a unique one for us. It's the first year that one of the twins is not in town. Mm. Our son moved to Oregon this summer. And so this is the first birthday since they were born that they're not both in town. Our daughter's a teacher in one of our local school districts, but our son moved up to Oregon, and he is working up in Portland.
Now, the Pima County Board of Supervisors, you were in person. The board actually got together on Tuesday for the first time in a couple of years.
I'm delighted, Bill, and Yes, as you just indicated, the previous board also went to virtual meetings when the pandemic began in spring of 2020. Our board took office in January of 2021, and this meeting on Tuesday was our first live meeting, the first time that all of us were able to be in the meeting room together with the county staff, and it was great to be there. It was great to have a live meeting and be able to interact with my colleagues face-to-face.
That's the first time you've been able to interact with all of them face-to-face. How did it go?
It went really well. It went really well. We had not a lot of business to conduct compared to some of our previous meetings, and we had a couple of proclamations to present to the local chapter of the Red Cross and also to an autism awareness group. So it was just great to be there, and we had some public speakers come in and share their concerns and comments during the call to the audience section.
One thing we like to do in these meetings with you is catch up on one of our very important issues, and that is regional cooperation when it comes to transportation. What is the latest concerning the Regional Transportation Authority and what is often referred to as RTA Next?
Well, I don't have any updates from a meeting to share with you, Bill, because the last time the RTA board met was on January 27th. We do have our next meeting coming up actually a week from today on March 24th. But what I can tell you is that the Citizens Advisory Committee, which is the group that is going to be drafting an RTA for its comments and then to present to the RTA board so that we can send it to the ballot, is back up to its full complement of 35 because we made those appointments at that January meeting, and they are beginning to meet to work on drafting that plan. There were 23 members of the group that had started working back in 2018, but we appointed 12 new members to, as I said, bring the group up to its full complement of 35 at our January meeting, and they are beginning their work. And I think that's the most significant development, is that that group is meeting and getting to work drafting a plan to put before the voters.
There is approximately four more years with the RTA, that it will be 4 years remaining in May. It was a 20-year program that the voters approved. So are you comfortable where we are right now as far as kind of the whole chronology of the timetable, Rex Scott, that's left before a decision on this about when it will go to the voters?
I am. As you know, Bill, at that January meeting, we had a unanimous vote of all 9 of the members of the RTA board in terms of how we were going to move forward with not only the composition of some of our committees in both the RTA board and the Pima Association of Governments Regional Council, but most significantly, how to move forward with the development of RTA Next. And ideally, I think we should have something on the ballot for the voters to approve no later than the 2024 general election, so that if the voters approve that plan, it is ready to take the place of the current plan, which, as you indicated, expires in 2026. And that new plan, if it's approved by the voters, will cover the period from 2026 to 2046.
And the timing with the city election, which will have city voters will be asked about approving an extension for road improvements within the city, does that fit pretty well into the plans of what the RTA might be looking at?
What I've heard from the mayor and the members of the Tucson City Council is that while they are going to, of course, encourage their voters to renew their existing sales tax. They are all in for RTA Next and are going to be strong and vociferous cheerleaders for the RTA Next plan and encourage the voters of Tucson to approve it when it's on the ballot.
All right, Rex Scott, good catching up with you again, and congratulations and a birthday to your birthday greetings to your twins. A big day for sure on this St. Patrick's Day. Rex, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Bill, thanks very much. Really kind of you. I appreciate it.
All right. Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, Democrat, representing the Supervisorial District Number 1. Mr. Scott, the first Democrat elected to the Pima County Board from District 1 since really 1972. All right, coming up next, we will have on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, the superintendent of Pima County's, well, it's the largest school district, second largest in the state, Tucson Unified School District. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo will join us on the live line after we take the mid-show break. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
And don't forget that Bon Voyage Travel Showcase is coming up on Sunday, April the 3rd at the Hilton Conquistador. I'll be participating along with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. We'll be doing about a half hour session. I think it gets underway at about 11 o'clock on Sunday, April 3rd. Would love to see some listeners come on out and talk travel with us. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, perfect time on St. Patrick's Day to make a green visit, a green run over to Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, because after all, the first day of spring is next week officially. We get spring a little earlier here in Tucson, but we certainly now are ready for all of the spring planting. I think the cold weather is pretty much behind us. You never know, but I don't think we're going to get another freeze. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. They are in their 51st year. They are open daily, and also their sister business is ZocaloVillage.com. Zocalo Village, that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Let's go now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, with our conversation with the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Bill. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you and all of our wonderful listeners out there.
Yes, thank you very much. The Buckmaster side of the family, English, but the Regan, R-E-G-A-N, side is pure Irish. Mom was a first-generation Irish-American, so it's Irish day for the Buckmasters and the Regans, for sure. So, Dr. Trujillo, we're circling back with you. It's been a while since you've been with us. Give us the overview. What is the situation now in the portfolio of all of the properties of TUSD concerning any COVID protocols?
Well, I think, you know, thankfully we're in a great place. We certainly were rocked in the month of January as Omicron ripped a nasty wave across the district. We were dealing with some very difficult staffing challenges as Omicron took out a number of students and staff members that had to go into safety protocols for either quarantine or isolation. Like the rest of the county and the state, we have seen the infection rates recede significantly. I'll knock on wood, you know, I'm hearing disturbing reports of a new, stronger variant of Omicron going across China right now, leading to a return to lockdowns over there. So hopefully we won't see any of that here. So we were able to relax a number of mitigation efforts administratively at our last meeting, allowing now for more in-person meetings, in-person professional development, allowing for student activities and assemblies to continue, relaxing mask usage for outside, and then, of course, effective March 28th, a week after we return, our governing board did officially vote to allow for masks to be optional, but still recommended for all of our students and certainly all of our visitors to campuses. So from a mitigation perspective, we're following the science. We are trying to adjust along with this virus and definitely return to some normalcy in terms of making masks not mandatory starting on March 28th.
When you are visiting campuses, and you do that almost every day, are you seeing kind of a mix? Some of the students and teachers are more comfortable still with the mask on.
I definitely see the predominant majority of our staff members really feeling more comfortable wearing masks. The students have been amazing everywhere that I've been. In the last couple of weeks, I've had the opportunity to visit just shy of 10 schools. You know, whether I'm out in the Erickson Elementary community or visiting Tolson Elementary on the far west side or Santa Rita on the east side, I was there recently. I really have not seen any student without a mask, and that's just a tremendous testament to our educators on the campuses. Same with our staff. In fact, if anything, I've just heard some concerns that we might be lifting the mask mandate a little bit too prematurely, but our staff has been wonderfully supportive, as our student body has been as well.
The other day, the Arizona Daily Star had a headline, TUSD says teachers' pay raises were higher than reported. I'm a little bit confused. Can you dig deep into this and tell us where are we with teachers' raises and pay?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity. First of all, I want to thank Genesis Lada for working with us and giving us an opportunity to give the whole side of the story versus the Auditor General's report. And really the crux of the issue is that the Auditor General does a sweeping analysis of every single school district in the state of Arizona's financial practices. And they issue an analysis, an expenditure analysis report for every school district across the state. They do this on an annual basis. And one of the key performance indicators from a financial perspective of school district is the amount of money that a school district invests in teacher raises and overall teacher compensation. And what got a number of people in the community, a number member of the press, not concerned but curious and wanting more information was the report on Tucson Unified. Though the report was overwhelmingly positive in terms of us being able to increase the amount of dollars we spend inside the classroom up to 53.8%, that's the highest percentage that we've had spending inside of the classroom since 2005. We're able to decrease administrative costs again for the fifth straight year of this administration. The number that had everybody concerned was the number 3.6, that the Tucson Unified School District has only been able to increase teacher salaries 3.6% over the last 4 years. Well, naturally, with Governor Ducey's 20% by 2020 initiative, that raised a lot of alarm in the community in terms of, well, wait a minute, you got this extra money. What happened? Why isn't the Auditor General reporting that you've raised teacher salaries by exactly 20% in the last 3 or 4 years? And so the reason, there are some key reasons why. Okay, so first, TUSD received approximately $24,599,852 to implement the teacher increases, 20% by 2020, which was Governor Ducey's vision. The first year that we received the extra money from the state was in 2018, the 2017-2018 school year. We received an additional $1.5 million in 17-18. We received an additional $12.2 million in 18-19. We received $6 million in the 19-20 school year. And the last year of Governor Ducey's increased funding program was 2021. We received an additional $4.4 million for that grand total of $24.5 million. Now, TUSD, what we did with that money was our governing board approved what's called a flat distribution for everybody, which means that every single teacher got the same amount of increase for each year, okay? So, for example, in 18-19, every teacher across the board got $3,800 increase to their base salary. Now, that's not the same percentage if I'm 20 years in as it is if I'm first year, right? So a 20-year teacher might be making $65,000 a year. So $3,800 isn't going to come anywhere near towards getting me 20%. But $3,800, if I'm a first-year teacher making $40,000 a year, that's going to be like 10% of my base salary. Mm-hmm. So we did this throughout the 20 for 20 initiative. We gave flat distributions, fixed amounts to every single teacher in the system. So in 2018-2019, we gave every teacher $3,800. In 1920, we gave every teacher, regardless of where they were with experience, $1,500. And in 2021, we gave every teacher in the system, again, $1,500. So we've actually invested $27,622,000 in teacher compensation versus the $24.6 million we received from the state. We've actually exceeded it. We've invested $1 million more in teacher compensation. And the reason why the Auditor General's office reflects a 3.6, there are a couple of key reasons. Number one, we didn't give every single teacher a 20% increase based off of where they are on each individual salary step. So the 20-year teacher that makes or that made $50,000 in 18-19, we didn't give that teacher 10% or 20% of their $50,000 to be able to say that that teacher got 20%. We did flat distributions. As I mentioned, $3,800 in year one, $1,500 in year two, $1,500 in year three. And so if you're at the bottom end of the teacher salary schedule, your first year, second year, third year, yeah, you did get a 20% increase in compensation throughout the life of Governor Ducey's 20% by 2020. But unfortunately, if you were 15 years, 20 years, 25 years in, you didn't experience that 20%. It became more like a 12%, 15% increase. Another aspect of the Auditor General's report is the fact that TUSD hires a lot of teachers that start at the beginning of the year or into the first quarter, or they retire before the end of the year. Every time that happens, it lowers our teacher increase numbers. So if we hire a teacher in October or December, that teacher is not making the full year salary. So instead of us getting credit for maybe a $50,000 teacher salary, we're only going to get credit for a $37,000 or a $35,000 teacher salary, and that lowers our percentage as well. So I just want to thank you, Bill, for giving us the opportunity to kind of address that fact. I want the listeners to know we spent every single penny of Governor Ducey's 20% by 20 money on teacher compensation. However, we did it through flat amounts for every teacher in the system. We didn't differentiate those amounts according to years of service, and that's why the number came in lower.
All right.
Also, it should be noted that Governor Ducey's metric for 20% by 2020 was based off of the average teacher salary for 17-18. So that was the yardstick.
Okay. We're going to have to pause right here. Dr. Trujillo, stick around. We'll be right back right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of our program presented by our friends over in Silver City. Temperatures over there about 60 to 70 degrees for the weekend. Pretty nice for hiking and getting out and about. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. Lots to do in the Gila National Wilderness. Just hanging out in a beautiful area of New Mexico. For more information about where to stay, and there's some great places to stay and all sorts of things to do, all of that's articulated for you at southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our live line guest, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, Tucson Unified School Superintendent. Dr. Trujillo, the American Psychological Association released a major report today to members of Congress, and this was a survey of teachers, administrators, school social workers, school psychologists, school staff. 15,000 of these educators were polled around the country, and the news is not very good because it shows that just over half of those working in your field, Dr. Trujillo, in education reported either physical violence or serious verbal aggression and threats on the job during the last school year. That's not good.
No, it's not good. And in the spirit of transparency, Bill, we always are very, very upfront and very truthful and matter of fact with our community and our organization. And yes, in the Tucson Unified School District over the last few years, student behavior has been more challenging than it has been in the year or two before the pandemic. We are not spared from this trend, which is nationwide and certainly around the state of Arizona. As I interface with my colleagues, other superintendents also indicating in their respective districts that for whatever factors or variables that may have been produced by this pandemic, student behavior and student management issues have been an increasing challenge. So what exacerbates the challenge, Bill, is the infrastructure needed to support a teacher now tasked with dealing with larger groups of students to begin with, and then students in each individual class who now have more comprehensive needs in terms of behavior, socio-emotional health. That infrastructure that usually consists of a counselor, a social worker, behavioral specialist has been exacerbated and strained with a labor shortage on those positions. So you have an increasing need to address student discipline and student management from more of a support perspective through counseling and social workers. But the counseling and the social workers, the counselors and the social workers are not there because of the labor shortage. And then you have larger class sizes that also exacerbate the situation because you're also dealing with the teacher shortage, which has also been blown wide open because of the pandemic. So we are really working hard in the Tucson Unified community to really address, first of all, the labor shortage. We believe that the labor shortage directly contributes to the agitation of this issue. And we're taking some steps with childcare, with increases in compensation, with recruitment and retention stipends that amount to $7,500 over the next 3 years to be able to get the best and the brightest social workers, counselors, behavior intervention specialists, and to shore up our teacher ranks so that we can provide the support necessary to deal with these issues that our teachers are experiencing in the classroom.
It's just one more issue, though, that when you have young teachers thinking about maybe education as a field, and they hear about all these reports of violence, it's hard enough to get a teacher to choose the profession, and then these kinds of issues. There's another survey out that half of teachers in America are not happy with their situation, that might want to move on to another profession. It's a very challenging time.
Yeah, and it doesn't help, Bill, that teachers are continuously under attack from this legislature, from the public at large, from the communities that they have sworn to serve. And when those communities turn on them for things like masks, mitigation efforts around COVID, disagreement about what the facts are in American history and the literature that teachers are trying to teach, or when teachers are accused of teaching critical race theory, when they're doing no such thing, when the longstanding disparity in their pay compared to other academic professionals, action is failed to be taken year after year after year, all of that really just adds up to finally a final decision in a teacher's life that maybe it is time to move on from the profession. It's extremely difficult from a superintendent's perspective and a governing board's perspective to do all that you can with pay, with compensation, with benefits. But money and benefits only go so far when you try to serve a community that really doesn't, number one, truly understand or appreciate the value of your work, the contribution that you're making to not only our society, but the future of our nation by educating the next generation of youth. A legislature that views you as a tax burden, doesn't fund you adequately to repair your classroom, provide you the professional level of pay that you deserve, or the resources that you need. It doesn't surprise me, Bill, that teachers across this state and across this nation are contemplating a career change.
All right, Dr. Trujillo, thank you very much. Enjoyed the time.
Thank you, Bill. As always, stay safe, stay healthy, and I'm looking forward to my next visit.
Okay, thank you very much. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, Tucson Unified School Superintendent. State Senator J.D. Mesnard will be my guest for the Friday Focus interview tomorrow, and we will be addressing some of these issues that Dr. Trujillo just mentioned about some perceiving our legislature as being hostile to public education. That's tomorrow on Buckmaster. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing, Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon, everybody.